This is a lecture given at St. David's Episcopal Church in Austin, Texas. Visit our website, stdave.org.
Well, good morning again. Thank you for having me. Delighted to be here this morning. And I want to first congratulate all of you on your 175th anniversary, an incredible milestone. That's amazing. I mean, just a ministry that survives and sustains that long. And had an opportunity this morning to talk a little bit about your restoration project, which Father Chuck had told me about a few months ago. And so obviously the amazing things that have been happening for 175 years continue to this day and will into the future. So delighted about that. Chuck said, I am David Huffstetler, President, Chief Executive Officer of St. David's Healthcare. And we look forward within a year to really celebrating 100 years as an organization. And a little bit what I want to talk with you about today is the fact that that started here 100 years ago next year, when really our organization was developed and initiated through this parish. So that's incredibly meaningful to us. We're delighted to be associated with the St. David's name. It does have a rich history of service to people in this community, and I'll tell you a little bit more about how we're trying to continue to extend that mission in this community in our own way. Our history is intertwined. Five physicians started this hospital, this original hospital, along with the rector of St. David's Episcopal Church in 1924. So we'll talk more about that. It started at Rio Grande and 17th Street in an old Victorian house that was later expanded. And actually that expansion still exists today as an apartment complex. So there's still some physical manifestation of this original church in the community as well. And so today I want to talk a little bit about our history. And I want to remind everybody that we have books over here on the table that will give you a deeper understanding of the history of St. David's Healthcare and the St. David's Foundation. I want to talk a little bit about the evolution of what was the original hospital and ultimately became a partnership and why that happened and sort of what that's resulted in. I want to talk a little bit about what we do as an organization today in St. David's Healthcare. And then I want to wrap it up very briefly with a little bit of discussion about, again, how we believe we are able to extend our mission beyond the walls of our hospitals into the community through our relationships with the St. David's Foundation and the Georgetown Health Foundation. So, again, we started in 1924 with five physicians who had worked in what was called the Physicians and Surgeons Hospital here in town. Before that, they went to the rector of St. David's Episcopal Church and worked out an arrangement whereby the church would assume the responsibility of the hospital, help to fund it, and manage it as well. That went on for 15 years. Ultimately, there was a separation with the church, but as I'll talk about in a few minutes, there's a relationship that has continued since that time. I think the church leaders at a time saw an opportunity and the need for a medical ministry in this community, and that's why they chose to get involved. They created a not-for-profit organization, they assumed the financials of the hospital and the management, and it took off from there. Today, and since that time, as Father Chuck mentioned, the rector of St. David's Episcopal Church continues to serve in a governance capacity with St. David's on the board of the St. David's Foundation. And that's just, I think, one of many ways that that connection and that relationship has continued. Obviously, a church has a charitable mission to the community, and St. David's Healthcare does the same. We continue through this day to provide millions of dollars in indigent care to those who need it. We have big open emergency rooms, and anybody who comes to us with an emergent condition, we take care of, regardless of their ability to pay. And we think that is something that is right and appropriate for us to do. And we achieve, I think, a lot of satisfaction by being able to contribute to the community in that way. Not long after St. David's hospital was established. Austin continued to grow, and it wasn't long until that original location needed to be expanded. An addition to that facility was developed in 1930. It added 46 beds to that facility. And when it was opened, it operated almost at full capacity, even at that time. In the 40s, late 30s, early 40s, around the time of the end of the World War II, the hospital had really outgrown its capacity. And so the leaders started looking for land to build a new hospital. That started in the mid-40s, and ultimately land was acquired, and the land is where the current St. David's Hospital sits today at 32nd Street and Red River and really I-35 on the other boundary there, and continued to grow. There were leaders in St. David's Hospital that had been associated with this parish, folks in this community that you know, so that connection has continued over the years as well. After opening that hospital, within 5 years, they bought additional land to expand to the east wing of the hospital. And you've seen that growth. Those of you who have been in the community for many years continue. We're in the process of construction at St. David's Medical Center today. So that growth and that contribution to the community is only extending. The healthcare environment really changed, though, in the early 80s and 90s. And we all have, hopefully, health insurance, and we deal with the healthcare system, and we know how complicated it can be and how difficult it can be sometimes. But in the early 80s and 90s, it became much more difficult for standalone hospitals to really survive. Insurance companies were leveraging their financial strength and really trying to create incentives or disincentives for hospitals to be associated with them. If you were a single hospital, it was tough to make it. And so hospitals around the country were really consolidating. They were either merging with other hospitals, or they were being acquired by organizations outside the community so they could have the contracting leverage to negotiate with insurance companies so they would be included in their networks and not excluded, and therefore they wouldn't be able to be paid. So the St. David's Hospital Board of Directors saw that. They realized they had to do something different. And so they started looking for a solution to that problem. They didn't want to be acquired by an organization from out of the city that didn't understand Austin and Central Texas, didn't have the sensibilities of Austin and Central Texas. And they didn't want to give up the name, the history, the organization to another organization. And so as a result, they started looking for partners. And after a period of due diligence and a lot of work to try to figure that out, they came up with really a creative solution. It was neither remaining independent nor wholly selling out or being acquired by another organization. And they found HCA Healthcare out of Nashville and created a true joint venture partnership, an agreement whereby there would be a third entity formed. It wouldn't be HCA Healthcare. It wouldn't be an independent hospital or the St. David's Foundation. It would be a third entity that would be owned jointly by HCA Healthcare. And then the St. David's Foundation was created. It contributed the assets of the hospital to the joint venture, and it became a partner along with HCA Healthcare in this true joint venture arrangement. The joint venture was created in 1996, and as I said, it's jointly governed by those organizations. We think it's a great model, and we think it's a great model because, again, it kind of combines the strengths of two great organizations. First of all, with the St. David's Foundation, we're able to maintain, again, the community sensibility, the connection to Austin, the connection to leaders in this community that have known our organization, known your church, known St. David's Healthcare, and have been able to guide and direct that organization for many years. We didn't want to lose that. At the same time, we needed the management expertise, the access to capital, those kinds of things that would help St. David's continued to meet its obligations to the community, and HCA Healthcare, even at the time, probably is the largest operator of hospitals really in the world, certainly in the country. So they bring a lot of scale. They bring a lot of expertise. It's really the best of both worlds. That continues to this day. As the president CEO of St. David's Healthcare, I technically work for HCA Healthcare, the management side, on behalf of St. David's Healthcare. After a few years, about 10 years, we added a partner to that partnership. We added the Georgetown Health Foundation, which came about as a result of the contribution of St. David's Georgetown Hospital to this partnership. They are a small 1% owner of the partnership. They are not a voting member of the partnership. The voting members and the controlling general partners are HCA Healthcare and St. David's Healthcare. So I wanted to just show you a couple of slides here to kind of demonstrate exactly how that works. If this is going to work now, let's see. Well, Mona, I'm not getting any advance here with this. I don't know if you can do it manually. Okay, thank you. This just shows you again a little bit of the history that I've given you about how the hospital was started and the organization came together. You may not be able to read all of this, but as I said, first you see the solo St. David's Hospital to the left that was operating independently and some of the challenges that it had. It didn't have those characteristics that were important to survive and negotiate with insurance companies and be included in, as a preferred provider, those insurance networks. HCA Healthcare was also here in the community. They had three other hospitals in Austin at the time, but they really didn't have sort of a core group of facilities. They didn't have anything centrally. They were still fairly small and couldn't do much as a result of their scale. They couldn't really justify any type of regional management in this area. So we brought the two together through this partnership. And again, you see what I talked about there to the far right, continuity of the local mission, local governance. To this day, the chairman of the St. David's Healthcare Board comes from the St. David's Foundation, is a board member of the St. David's Foundation. It is Peter today, that's right. Peter Penkoffs is our chairman today. That's right. David Hughes, who's a member of this parish, has been our chairman in the past as well, and I'm sure probably others. So these are just some of the characteristics, again, that created this partnership and brought us together. And we couldn't imagine what would have changed in the intervening period and how much growth we would have seen. So from the four hospitals that came together to create this, we're now a system of nine hospitals today. Our footprint stretches from south and really San Marcos north to Georgetown, Lakeway to Bastrop east and west. And then we also have a system of affiliate hospitals that range from San Angelo to Columbus. So we've really grown a lot. As you can see, this again shows you the structure of the organization today. You see that those three sponsors or owners have different ownership percentages, but only two of them, again, are controlling or voting members, HCA and the St. David's Foundation. And while they have different ownership percentages, they have equal voting rights. And so our organization does nothing unless our two general partners agree to do it. So it's really 50-50 governance. And that's worked amazingly well. Since 1996, we've really never had any substantive issue where the partners disagreed. We do a lot of work to make sure they're on the same page and we have the same idea of what should be done for the community, but they've always come together and that works well. You see those three organizations create St. David's Healthcare, this true joint venture partnership. HCA provides management services, as I mentioned a few minutes ago, and then the St. David's Partnership pays a management fee to HCA to do that. And I talked about our growth at the bottom there. You can see what we are today. We have 7 campuses, but we have 2 hospitals within a hospital that are really independent. We have 15 ambulatory surgery centers. We have what we call access points, 4 freestanding emergency departments in the community. And now we're up to 25 urgent care centers. We had 15 urgent care centers, and we recently acquired another 10 through an acquisition. So those give us the ability to treat patients out in the geography so they don't have to always come to our hospitals. They can get their care in a more appropriate clinically and lower cost setting in these urgent care centers. A lot of our patients today don't have primary care doctors, you know, so they use these urgent care centers as a proxy for that. So those are becoming increasingly important. And then you see there that we have 2,750 aligned physicians that are working in our organization. So very busy place. You know, I'm proud to say that St. David's Healthcare has been recognized nationally for the quality and safety, the clinical quality it provides to patients. That's obviously where the rubber meets the road. Chuck talked a little bit about his experience, and while we certainly want to have the latest technology, we want to have the deepest clinical programs, all those kinds of things, the real measure of whether we're doing the work that we need to do is based on objective clinical quality. And we're fortunate that we've been recognized. 5 of our hospitals this past year were recognized among the best 250 hospitals in the country by a national organization. That's out of about 5,000 to 5,500 hospitals nationally. Last year, St. David's Medical Center that we were just talking about a few minutes ago was named the number one community hospital in the country by a large organization. And that's based on a litany of measures, both operational and quality. And all of our hospitals hold an A grade from something called the LeapFrog Group. And many of you may not be familiar with that, but that's important in the work that I do in the sense that all hospitals in the country are measured again by that organization, and they rate hospitals on a scale, an academic scale, if you want to think of it, A through F. All of our hospitals are rated A, and that generally is recognized as an indicator of patient safety and clinical quality at a superior level relative to others. We have grown, obviously, a lot over the years, and we have grown a lot relative to other healthcare organizations in the community that work to serve this community as well. We have about, as we call it, as we measure it, market share. All of the inpatients that come to hospitals in Central Texas, the percentage of those that come to one organization versus another, about 43% of the inpatient care delivered in this community is delivered in St. David's Healthcare. The next closest organization delivers about 31% of the care in this community. I mentioned earlier that a huge part of our mission is making sure that we take care of the community regardless of its ability to pay. Since the establishment of this partnership in 1996, we have provided $4.8 billion of indigent care during that time. So it's a huge part of what we do, and I think it's a huge contribution that our organization makes to the community. Some people don't know, but we also, as I sort of showed here a few minutes ago, we are neither a what you might think of it as a proprietary healthcare organization. We're not a for-profit healthcare organization. We also are not what you may think of as a true not-for-profit healthcare system. We're a hybrid of those. The St. David's Foundation is exempt from federal income tax. And the reason it's exempt from the federal income tax is because its primary operations really are the hospitals within St. David's Healthcare. And the hospitals within St. David's Healthcare voluntarily choose to meet the charity care requirements and the requirements that typically a not-for-profit hospital would have to meet. So we are also federally tax exempt as a result of that. Having said that, we do pay taxes. We pay ad valorem taxes. We pay sales taxes. We pay what's called the state margins tax, which is essentially the Texas corporate income tax. So we pay all of those which go back into the community and the state to support other things as well. We paid about $580 million in those taxes since the inception of the partnership, and now we're on a run rate of paying about $40 million a year in taxes. And those go to a lot of good causes that we all support and we all think are important. The other way that it's important for St. David's Healthcare to serve this community, obviously, is to ensure that we have the capacity and the capability to take care of patients in this community, in the numbers and to the demand that we see. And we know we're sitting in the fastest growing city, essentially, in the country. And so with that comes an increasing demand for healthcare services. We've invested about $2.4 billion since the inception of the partnership to continue to reinvest in our facilities, add facilities, start new programs, all of those kinds of things. And some of you may have seen where last year we announced that we will be investing over the next few years an additional $1 billion right at it in services to the community. And that really is just a reflection of the demand that we're seeing. Many of our hospitals have capacity constraints. We can't always easily accommodate the patients that come to us. And then there are other parts of our community where we believe we can serve. We would like to offer those communities the care and service that we provide. So we will be going into some new parts of the community as well, Leander to the north, Heil to the south, in addition to the other access points that we will continue to develop. Chuck and I were talking earlier about the challenges this community has around homelessness and around behavioral health that results from some of the social challenges that people in this community have. We also will start developing in January of next year a new behavioral health hospital that will be adjacent to the North Austin Medical Center campus. And that will be one way that we will be able to provide additional behavioral health services to this community. And then we have a number of projects in flight today at our various hospitals to expand them where they have capacity constraints. This shows you, and thank you for putting that up, Mona. This just shows you sort of our footprint today, some of which I showed you earlier, and it gives you a sense of scale of our organization. And if we could maybe get to the next slide too, Mona, thank you. As I said, next year we'll celebrate our 100th anniversary, and we've been together with St. David's Episcopal Church from the beginning of that. Another milestone next year will be that the St. David's Foundation, as a result of the contributions made from St. David's Healthcare, will reach the $1 billion mark in contributions or grants it has made to the community since the inception of the foundation. And I want to talk a little bit about that for a minute. Again, this is where I've taken that chart you saw a few minutes ago and sort of flipped it on its head a little bit. You see St. David's Healthcare there at the top, and I show below that surplus earnings from operations. What that means is that every month, either the St. David's Healthcare Board or the St. David's Healthcare Finance Committee meets. We look at our operations, we look at our financial situation, and any funding we have above and beyond the near-term operating and capital needs of our system to pay the bills, to pay for ongoing projects, those kinds of things, we take those surplus earnings and we distribute them to the partners. So we literally write a check or transfer funds to the partners, to HCA Healthcare, the St. David's Foundation, and the Georgetown Health Foundation in those ownership percentages that you see there on the slide. HCA takes those funds and reinvests those funds in their operations. HCA has 180 hospitals nationally. Most of those are wholly owned. they're not in partnerships like this. And so they'll take some of those funds to reinvest and continue the operations of their wholly owned hospitals. And of course, they are a public company. So they also distribute earnings, a portion of their earnings, to shareholders, as public companies typically do. The St. David's Foundation and the Georgetown Health Foundation, on the other hand, along with St. David's Healthcare, take those surplus funds and reinvest them directly in this community. So I've listed their uncompensated care, indigent care. We talked a lot about that and what St. David's Healthcare does in that regard. I talked about the state and local taxes that we pay. We mentioned the hospital and healthcare reinvestment to accommodate the growth and demand in Austin and Central Texas. And then finally there you see community grants and direct programs. And that's what these foundations do. And they do that now to the tune last year of about $92 million combined on an annual basis. That will continue to grow. And as I said a few minutes ago, ultimately that will result next year probably in a total of $1 billion that those foundations, or the St. David's Foundation actually, has contributed to the community since the inception of the foundation. And I think we have one more slide, maybe, Mona, there. And we'll begin to wrap this up. And this just shows you, again, those numbers of what the St. David's Foundation and the Georgetown Health Foundation have done and are doing in our community. It was about 2005, after establishing the partnership in 1996, when the foundations really started making those grants and distributing those funds out to the community based on their financial wherewithal. And you can see how that has grown. As I mentioned last year, $92 million in contributions to the community. These are some of the focus areas of the St. David's Foundation: resilient children, healthy women and girls, older adults, age in place, thriving rural communities, and clinics as community hubs for health. And I point that out simply to say, again, we believe that the model that has been created in St. David's Healthcare is not a unique model, but it's fairly rare, and it's a really successful model in the sense that some not-for-profit healthcare organizations have foundations, and those foundations typically go out into the community and raise funds from the community to support the operations of their healthcare system. Our system does it sort of just the opposite. As I mentioned, we take the surplus earnings from the success we've had as a healthcare system, we distribute it to those foundations. And so we have foundations that really don't raise money. Instead, they contribute or give away funds to the community. And by doing that, I think the beauty of this is that it extends really the mission of our healthcare system beyond the walls of our hospitals, beyond the clinical care we're providing, beyond the support we provide through our emergency rooms, into these broader community needs through these foundations. So it's a really good model. It's a model that has been successful in enabling HCA Healthcare to bring in additional partners from around the country who find themselves in a situation where they need the scale, the strength of a large company like HCA Healthcare, but they want to do what the people in this community wanted to do in 1996. They want to hang on to their legacy. They want to continue to be involved and be influential in what goes on in their community. And these partnerships are a way of doing that. So we look forward to an opportunity to include you next year as we celebrate our 100th anniversary. And obviously that's important because you've been there from the beginning. You've been there from 1924 through 2024. And then we look forward to being in this community for another 100 years or more beyond that. So again, it's a pleasure to be able to be part of this in Austin. We value the relationship that we have with St. David's Episcopal Church and look forward to doing more of that in the future. So thank you. Yes, ma'am. Got some questions. Thank you, Linda. That's right. It's grown into an amazing thing. And thank you to your family, because as y'all know, Linda and Jim both continued to be involved in our organization for many, many years since that time, and have always been amazing supporters of us. Also, Susie Jastrow's grandfather was one of the ones who was involved as well. I don't know if y'all know the Jastrows. They were also folks who were involved there. Susie's grandfather was one of the original founding five physicians in this as well, along with Dr. Gilbert. So appreciate their involvement as well. So what questions? John Barclay was key. I should have mentioned that when the current hospital, St. David's Medical Center, was originally built, it cost $1.5 million to build. I can't build a bathroom for $1.5 million anymore. $1.5 million to build. John Barclay was asked to be the chairman of the development committee, the fundraising committee for that effort. The goal was to raise $500,000, $500,000 for that effort from the community in direct contributions. And Mr. Barclay raised $612,000 of that $1.5 million through his efforts, and along with support from folks you may know still in this community. So it was a very successful effort. That, combined with proceeds from the sale of the original hospital, along with what some of you may have heard of as Hill Burton funds, the Hill Burton Act that was passed during that time by the federal government to accelerate the development of hospitals that were so needed after World War II in this country, those funds combined to build St. David's Medical Center originally. So that is a great example of the legacy that lives on today and the legacy that we want to preserve going forward here. Yes, sir.
Be commended on keeping the joint venture going.
It wasn't unique, because unique means unique. there were a couple of these around the country, but I will say that it was special, I'll call it, enough and creative enough that it caught the interest of the federal government. And as you may know, there was a significant lawsuit that really became a mainstay case that's still reviewed today about the tax-exempt status of the foundation. And St. David's Healthcare and the foundation made the case that what we do and how we do it and the way it benefits the community meets the IRS standards for the organization to continue to be federally tax-exempt. And St. David's Healthcare prevailed in that case. And so it was something that most communities, and including the federal government and the IRS, were not accustomed to seeing. And so it was challenged initially, but ultimately prevailed. And we're very careful about that. We do a lot of things to make sure that we can continue to demonstrate that we deserve that tax-exempt status going forward. As I said, we meet the state charity care requirements in Texas. We exceed those pretty significantly, as a matter of fact. Of course, we make sure that no private benefit inures to anyone associated with that partnership. We keep sort of a Chinese wall there. There are things that the St. David's Foundation, most things, in fact, that the St. David's Foundation is not allowed to do to benefit St. David's Healthcare, because we do have a for-profit tax-paying partner. And when those earnings are distributed, as I said, we do what we do on the foundation side, or the foundation does. And on the HCA side, of course, they do pay taxes. They pay federal income taxes. with the distributions they get from this partnership. So it's been very successful. A lot of trust has been built over the years. Many of our board members in St. David's Healthcare on the foundation local Austin side were longstanding members. We do not have term limits on our board. That has enabled the partners to get to know one another over the years and trust one another and observe over an extended period of time how the operations of our partnership work. And that has really made a difference, I think, in the agreement we've always had and the success we've had. Yes, ma'am.
And the other question I have is about rural communities losing their hospitals.
Well, I think you're. Yes. One question is sort of my sense of healthcare generally, and as the population ages, how that's going to impact our healthcare system. And then the second question is really around the future of rural healthcare and rural hospitals and how they stand in this whole situation. Those are both challenges, I would say. First of all, yes, we will continue to see demand as the population ages and the one of the largest cohorts of our population still moving into or now into sort of the Medicare eligible age, where we know there's greater utilization. We get older, we need more healthcare. And so we're seeing that today. So that will continue to be a challenge for us. We are in a time, we talked about this some this morning, from a policy and a political perspective, where our governments are not inclined to want to fund healthcare as much maybe as they did at one time. Various changes have occurred in our systems such that you know, I want to stay away from that, Chuck. I have to deal with all of them. So it's a real challenge for us. You know, we spend a lot of our time trying to figure out how we're going to ultimately fund and continue what I've described to you today. Typically, the government payers take the lead on this, and they want to pay sort of relative to the total cost of care. They want to pay less and less by putting certain types of governors on what they'll pay for, percentage increases for what they'll pay for, those kinds of things. That then typically calls the commercial payers, employer-based health insurance companies, to follow suit. And they want to do sort of some of the same things. And ultimately, that doesn't work. The way we fund our operations is largely driven by employer-based health insurance. And none of us likes that, right? We can have that debate forever. If we have employer-based health insurance, we're always talking about how our insurance premiums are going up and it's getting so expensive and all those kinds of things. It's true. And it's true partially because we carry, those of us who are employed, carry a disproportionate amount of the burden relative to the government-based payers, Medicare and Medicaid. So, you know, the statistic used to be that, you know, Medicaid pays about 60 cents, 56 cents on the dollar of what it costs us, what it costs us to provide the care. So it's a net loss to us. Medicare typically has paid in the 80% range of our cost, something like that. And so the employer-based insurance companies obviously pay something much above a dollar in order to cross-subsidize those other payers that don't pay us enough. And so it's a perfect storm if they all continue to sort of squeeze us and sort of dial back on our funding. Then you can get into the whole debate about how insurance companies do today and whether their margins are where they need to be or whether they should be, you know, paying more to provide the care for patients in our hospitals and our healthcare system. But, you know, we're still figuring it out. We spend a lot of time trying to educate legislators and regulators about the bigger picture, what would ultimately happen if the safety net that we depend on goes away. And we'll continue to fight the good fight is all I can tell you. With regard to rural health care, I think that is beginning to get more attention by governments at all levels because we are seeing a significant number of rural hospitals go out of business. The most recent one here is actually a clinical affiliate hospital, we call it, of St. David's Healthcare, and that would be St. Mark's and LaGrange. St. Mark's and LaGrange has closed. And an example of where, again, these small hospitals that are independent don't have the scale, they can't accommodate the cost increases to keep the doors open. What's happened, you know, in this country since COVID or during COVID has had a huge impact on these hospitals. While they did get supplementary government funds to stay open during COVID, those funds have really gone away now. And what's been left is the higher cost of doing business. We have a significant supply-demand imbalance in this country for clinical personnel, nurses, techs, all the people that take care of our patients. A lot of them just dropped out during and after COVID. We don't know where all the nurses went. We wish we did, but they're gone. And so we are having to pay significant premium amounts to get those nurses. And the nurses know that. That's a good deal for nurses. So they'll travel all around the country and they'll go to the highest bidder. And with an organization of our size, we can accommodate that to a certain degree. Small individual hospitals are dealing with that increased cost. They're dealing with the increased cost in capital that's come about as a result of a lot of these other economic dynamics, right? The shortage of labor generally in our economy, the supply chain issues, the cost of materials, all those things. So their operating costs are up, their capital costs are up, everything they do. And then they're struggling, even if they could afford it, they're struggling to get staff to these smaller communities. And so I don't know what the answer to that is, but I can tell you that state governments and the federal government are getting dialed in on that even more. And what typically happens is the allocation of funds to support something like rural hospitals that are struggling will be seen in the context of the whole. So in order to fund them, those funds will be taken away from others within the healthcare system. So as we look at our own challenges, St. David's Healthcare, the risk is that we will see some of our funding decline in order to shift it to rural hospitals. And it's always worked that way. Again, we will figure that out. I'm sorry. Yeah, good point. I didn't catch that for a minute. It feels that way, Chuck. I tell you, it feels that way. Absolutely. Well, I'll come for this because they've offered me this. It's crazy right now. It really is. We do think that that's going to mitigate some. Things are settling down a little bit. The need, maybe more so the willingness to pay some of those premium rates is declining across the country within healthcare systems. So those opportunities to move around and do that aren't what they were at one time. So the good news for us is we have seen our turnover decline over the past 8 or 9 months, really since the beginning of the year. We've seen our ability to recruit go up. Most of our recruitment has to come through graduate nurses, nurses coming right out of training, and we support a lot of nursing programs in order to do that. And we have seen the rates we pay for what we call contract labor coming down a little bit as a result of it. So a long way to go. It doesn't look anything like it did in 2019, but we seem to be maybe moving back toward that a little bit.
Point out one of the things I know St. David's Foundation has done for a long time is the Awards.
That's right. Cassert scholarships.
It's all of us. I don't think now nursing may be the most acute problem, but we've had friends of our daughters, you know, go through that program, and I don't know how much detail you need, but I think that's been more long term, and it's a wonderful thing.
It's an amazing program, and I mentioned earlier that you know, our foundations give away or distribute money. They don't ask for money or raise money. The only thing that the St. David's Foundation does where it raises money is the Neil Kusorik Scholarship Program. And it's a wonderful program. It was started originally to provide scholarships for students in need for 4 years of undergraduate school, students who were interested in going into healthcare careers broadly. It didn't have to be nursing. It could be medicine. It could be other types of healthcare careers that require a four-year degree. That program has grown. The community has been incredibly generous in contributing to those. Some of you are familiar with the, what's the series of parties, Toast of the Town parties that occur every year that raise a lot of money for this. Now the program actually will fund 4 years of college and up to 4 years of medical school or graduate school for these students. And I'm sorry I can't quote the number of students who are benefiting from those scholarships today, but it's fairly significant. I think across the years of the program, there are probably 400 or so active scholarship recipients right now. So it's a great program. Great program.
Well, no,
thank you.
Thanks
so much. Appreciate it, Chuck. Thank you.
You can find more lectures and sermons on iTunes by searching for St. David's Episcopal Church in Austin, Texas, or visit our website at saintdave.org and click on the podcast button.